Well, or that was the Foxhole one.
That was the Foxhole one.
This amateur radio roundtable is brought to you in part by ICOM America. All right, welcome. I'd like to welcome all of our viewers out here tonight. This is Amateur Radio Roundtable. I'm Tom Medlin, W5KUB. And this is Tuesday, January 29th. Katie had to remind me, I usually don't know what day it is. But, hey, we're going to have a great show tonight. We've got Rich from CQ. We've got Katie with us. We've got Martin FG with us. We're going to talk about ham radio tonight, what's changed, what hadn't changed in the last 60 years. It's going to be really cool. Dave Kemper with us tonight to talk about Quartz Fest. We're watching for him in a chat room. We'll connect with Dave when we find him. But we will we'll go right on with the show. If you're listening on International Shortwave Station, WBCQ, on 5130, you can also watch the show on the internet. If you've got internet, go to W5KUB.com, W5KUB.com, and you can watch the show there. Join us in the chat room. Also, if you're out there listening on shortwave, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Send that email to Tom at W5KUB.com. Just wanted to give you a couple quick updates. Hey, one thing we've done this week is we've expanded our phone system. You know, you guys can only have been able to call in one person at a time. And, you know, we're talking and other people call in. They usually hang up and they just give up. We've expanded our phone system now where we can take up to 1,000 calls, believe it or not, 1,000 calls at the same time. No joke. That's why I've hired Chris, my son, here, to come in here tonight and help. He's going to help take care of those 1,000 calls. Let's see if I can bring Chris in. There's Chris right there. Chris, wave. Wave. There you go. So anyway, he's the person going to take the 1,000 calls. Okay. Now, we also have telephone numbers in 65 countries. 65 local numbers in local countries where you can call in and you know, join the show. And I'll put that number up and tell you how to do it a little later, but there it is right there. 65 countries, 1,000 simultaneous calls. Boy, this is going to be cool. We're going to try that out tonight. So let's see. Katie, how you? Let me mention one thing. Josh is working tonight. He's working late out in California. They're trying to hire some new engineers. I'm guessing these are software engineers. I think that's what Josh does. And so he'll be working till about 7 out there. That's 9 o'clock our time. He may dial in and become one of those 1,000. He may check in with us about 9 o'clock. I don't know. And Jason, you guys know Jason. He's been with us a few times lately. He's out at the studios of Last Man Standing out there, maybe operating the rig a little bit. And this is Tuesday night. I think this is the night that they actually shoot the show live. So he's probably in the audience right about now getting ready to watch the show out there start. So we won't be hearing from Jason today. All right, so let's jump around a little bit here and let's just see who we got on the connection here tonight. Let's first start with Katie. Katie, how you doing? Katie, can I? Katie, I'm not hearing you, Katie. I'm still not hearing Katie. Why am I not hearing Katie? Katie, is your mic muted? Why am I not hearing Katie? Well, you know what? Say something, Katie.
Hold on a second.
There we go.
Hey, Heather.
Is that better?
All right. Sorry, it was. I think I was clicking it too much, and it kept turning on and off. So,
yeah.
Hello, Tom. Hello, everybody out there watching. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood here in Wyoming. It's been about, I don't know, below zero or so with a wind chill, and we've gotten probably over 2 feet of brand new snow since Friday, and we've had some horrendous winds, so there's just huge drifts everywhere, and so it's been a good time to mostly stay inside and get some ham radio in this weekend. So looking forward to heading to Hamcation next week, get out of the snow and into some fun in the sun.
Well, you know, we're going to be going down there too, but Katie, I knew you were going to be wearing your hat tonight, so I dug mine out. Let's see. I dug mine out. We don't normally have to wear it that much here, you know, in Memphis. But anyway, just to, you know, be in a spirit with you guys. So, two feet of snow.
I wore that Fargo hat last week, and I actually wore it today. I had to go out in the snow, but that tonight I just wear this hat. This is actually one of my own creations that I made, and so I just thought, well, it kind of goes with the sweater I'm wearing, and here I am.
Okay, great. Hey, let's see what else is going on here. We've got, let's jump up and say hello to Martin. Now, Martin?
I'm here. If y'all going to put hats on, I'll put mine on too.
Hey, guys, just hang on 1 second here. What's going on, guys? Yeah, sure. Yeah, I am.
Chicago Police.
Yeah? What's going on?
Hey, Tom. This is our supervisor.
Okay.
That's our Rich.
Hey, I'm going to do the same thing, Rich.
Called out the center.
Yeah.
And said that he had shot your guest on your show tonight in the face with a shotgun at this address. And I think you have a crazy fan.
We do. We had somebody in the chat room just trying to cause trouble a while ago, and we blocked him.
Okay.
Yeah, we're live right now. Hey, thanks for coming, guys, but you know, I don't think anything happened.
Do you have that girl on the... Katie or
would y'all mind coming in there and just being
well, we can't be on the show.
Will you come in here? Can we just at least just
talking to her?
Yeah, she's on the show right now. She's a remote.
Adams or what's her name?
Katie Allen.
Kaylee Allen.
Yeah.
Just make sure.
Come on back a second.
Okay.
Just a second, guys. I mean, so is it? Can I just mention you guys are here and?
It's your show, man.
Okay, come on back.
Well, we can hear them.
Yeah, Tom, your mic is live, so.
Okay. Hey, guys, you guys aren't gonna believe this, but I've got half the city police department here in the studio. And man, what's that? Is that an M16? Is that an M16 you got there?
Oh my goodness!
Okay. I won't do that, guys. Anyway, somebody called them and made a threat about the show about shooting somebody. So they're just here to check and make sure everything's okay. Yeah.
Are you serious?
You can watch it. Right, you can look right there. Hey, Katie. Katie, say hello. Yeah. Let me get you on here, Katie. Hang on, Katie. Katie, say hello.
Katie.
Yes, Katie.
Clearly not
shy. Hi, guys.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. They just wanted to make sure everything's okay. Yeah, I will.
I'll do that.
Thank you, guys. I thought I was getting arrested for something, man. Okay. Well, that was interesting.
Wow.
That was interesting. So we got a little troublemaker, I guess, out here on the show somewhere. Chris noticed him earlier. But, you know, that was all. That was okay. The guys got here real fast, didn't they, Chris?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were going to go to Martin, and I'm sure they'll be looking at that phone number, too, that called that in. I imagine this is not over with yet. So, anyway... Let's go to Martin. Martin, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great here in Mississippi. It got really cold this afternoon. We got down to 61 degrees.
Oh, did it? Oh, I don't know what it got here, Martin. It's
Yeah.
Well, it's getting down cold here, Martin. It's 30 degrees 30 degrees here, Martin.
It's like 41 degrees tonight.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Martin, I'm looking forward to talking to you in a little while about ham radio, if we don't have any other interruptions here. And that's going to be fun. All right, so let's just jump up here. Katie, let's get started here. We had a little interruption there, but it was some interesting entertainment, I guess.
Yeah, that was definitely a new one for the show
I didn't realize my mic was still on. I went to the other end of the house there with the police. Okay.
Well, certainly from my side, I thought there was some kind of joke. It was some local ham stopping in and just making a joke because we couldn't quite hear everything.
I didn't actually recognize the guy that came in a dark suit. He didn't look familiar.
Yeah.
And then I realized those were, it was actually the SWAT team.
Wow.
All right. Hey, why don't you introduce Rich, Katie, and you guys talk about CQ Magazine, okay?
All right, that sounds good. Well, for all the way from here in Wyoming off to the East Coast with Rich Moses and W2VU from CQ Magazine. Oh, Rich has got his hat
on
tonight,
too. I figured I'd put on my CQ hard hat.
Excellent. It keeps all your brain cells in while you're trying to edit the magazine, right?
That's right. It keeps my head from exploding, yeah.
So how are things going with CQ right now,
Pretty
Rich?
Good. In fact, I want to start out with a note to our very patient print subscribers that the December print issue lives, and it's in the mail. A lot of people have gotten theirs already, and we really apologize for the delays, and it's a challenging time to be in the publishing business, as you know, if you watch the business at all. Our plan is to slowly get caught back up over the next few months here to hopefully be back on schedule with the print edition, as we have been consistently with the digital. So,
right. That's great news.
I was very happy to have it show up on my doorstep today, or yesterday, actually. So moving to February, though, which will be out in the digital edition in just a few days. That's our QRP special for the year, and we've got a dozen different QRP-focused articles. And for those of you out there who may not know what QRP means, it's low-power ham radio, usually 5 watts or less, sometimes 10 watts or less. And it's amazing what you can do with just a few watts. In fact, one of our QRP columnists, I need the hat back on to keep it there. K8SMA. His column for this issue is his top 10 reasons for operating QRP. So that's a good starting point. We've got QRP Marconi and me, NK6A's story of hamming vacation to Italy that also took him to the Marconi Museum. And that's going to be the headquarters for the 2022 World Radio Sport Team Championship is Bologna, where the Marconi Museum is. So that's going to be very interesting. Got W2JAZ with a piece on traveling light, QRP with a software-defined radio and a Windows tablet, so that he can go wherever he needs to with just a tablet and a little dongle radio. Mm-hmm. We've got a review of the Soda Beams Tactical 7000 HDS portable antenna mast, really cool collapsible mast that you can use for QRP expeditions out in the field and things like that. We've got NJ3K explaining how he worked not only 100 DX countries QRP, but CW and mobile at the same time. So that's quite an accomplishment, and it's a really fun story. K9GH writes about QRP on the cruise of a lifetime. This was not your typical cruise. He was out with his son's scout troop on a cruise in the Florida Keys. One of the adults going with him brought a QRP rig along and had a great time, not only hamming, but bonding with his son as well.
That sounds fun.
It was, reading this. couple of project articles, an ideal low current and ultra high resistance meter by K2AOP. You're working with low power gear, you're often dealing with very low current levels, and it's hard to read them sometimes. So he's got a great project for doing that. And W0PCE has a project for building an amplified absorption wave meter. Again, this is a 50-year-old design, but still functional today. He updated it and can detect and measure very low levels of RF energy. Again, very handy if you're doing QRP work. And one of my favorites is N4KYW's article called A Little Help from the Kitchen. You know, one of the things that is seems to be common among QRP kits is that they don't come with enclosures. You have to be creative in coming up with your enclosures. And he decided to raid the kitchen cabinet and use some baking tins and roasting pans and things like that for enclosures for his QRP rigs. Really fun article, but we're also very useful. We have the results of the 2018 CQ Worldwide Fox Hunting Weekend, which is kind of the ultimate QRP, because those little Fox transmitters put out milliwatts at most, and your challenge there is to listen. And that's our cover story as well. We got some great pictures there. We got a brand new column by Eric Nichols, KL7AJ, called Analog Adventures, keeping in mind that no matter how digital things get, radio itself is still analog and always will be. And so he's starting out with a topic of small signals in honor of the QRP special. And I see I have a guest behind me.
You do.
That's unusual. Finally, for our QRP stuff, Joe Eisenberg and his kit building column. Martin, you'll be interested in this. He looks at building the Vectronix 30-meter receiver kit.
Hey, Rich.
Mouse. Well, yeah.
This is Tom. Hey, let me do this. I'm going to put the three of you guys up here on the screen. I need to go talk with the police, for their report. There's a bunch of them out there. And I'm going to put the three of you guys up here. Y'all can continue. Martin, I want you to talk about ham radio. And Rich, you can help him because you're an old-timer too, okay?
Thanks.
And Katie, you too. And I'll be back with you guys in a little while.
All right, good luck.
I'm trying to see who else I need to bring up. I need to bring Martin in here.
You need Martin.
Okay. I'm going to get Martin. Look, you guys go ahead. You've got the show. I'll be back in a little while, okay?
All right. We're in charge.
All righty.
See, now is the night we need Glenn Popiel here, because he would be fun, have fun helping us take over.
he's left that cursor in my eye, though.
Hey, at least it's not up your nose like it was mine earlier.
So, back to the magazine. We've also got some stuff for the non-QRPers among us, for those believe that life's too short for QRP. We've got a great story by PA3EWP on the A35 EUD expedition to the Kingdom of Tonga. Really fascinating story about operation from the South Pacific. Our emergency communications editor, W4ALT, has a really good piece on emergency communications and accessibility for people with physical challenges, and how basically, he was doing this in response to a question from a reader as to whether having a disability would be a showstopper in terms of providing emergency communications help. And he talks all about how no, it doesn't, and there are plenty of things for people to do regardless of their ability levels.
Right.
And, we're starting a new series in our awards column. By the way, we're still looking for a new awards editor. K1BV has stepped down after 25 years or so. I'm covering for the moment, but we're still interested in a new awards editor and USACA award manager. So if anyone out there is interested in either of those, talk to me. What we're doing in the meantime is taking a close look at the CQ Award Series, which we don't write about that much in our magazine, and we really should. We're starting out with the CQDX Awards and talking about them a little bit and how they have their unique personality. We're going to then cover the CQDX Field Award and the Worked All Zones Award, USA Counties, WPX, and hopefully by the time I finish writing about all the awards, we'll have found a new award man editor. So, but if anybody's interested, it's a fun thing to do.
Well, kind of, yeah. Well, bringing that up, because since we have people with so many different backgrounds in the chat room or listening, mm-hmm. what kind of skill set would you be looking for someone to take that role on?
Well, traditionally, the person who's held this job has been both writing the awards column every month and administering the USA Counties Award. It developed that way. It started out as a USACA column, which grew mm-hmm. into a general awards column. Okay. But there's no need for that to be one person doing both. There's no problem with having two different people doing each of them. For the awards column, we need somebody with a real interest in the different award programs that are out there. There's all sorts of fascinating award programs. You know, we know about the biggies, the WAZ, DXCC, Worked All Continents. But there's all sorts of smaller award programs out there that can be just as challenging, or good starter award programs for people who are just getting started. And Ted, you know, brought us a whole bunch of them every month for 25 years and never ran short. It does require enough interest to go digging sometimes and to find these awards and then be able to write about them and what they offer that's unique and different. Is this a good starting award or is this a really challenging one? You know, I just had a letter today from someone saying, do you know how long it takes to work 200 fields for the DX Field Award? And yes, I do. And it's not intended to be an easy award. That's why the basic level is 50. So, yes.
I like the County Hunters Award. That's yep. not a quick thing to accomplish by any means.
3,077 counties in the United States. as far as the counties award and being the administrator for that, obviously we need to have someone who is, obviously preferably someone who already holds the award. And or very, very close to it. So they need to be a really dedicated county hunter to be able to, you know, being an award manager is a fascinating thing because you've got to not only be able to look at the things people have worked and admire them and acknowledge them, but also be able to catch the guys who are trying to pull one over on you. So you got to know that, this guy in New Jersey said he worked Wyoming on 160 meters at noon in July. I don't think so.
It could happen every now and then. Right. Weird things do happen from Wyoming on 160 meters. We've proven that.
But it would, you know, so he's got whoever this would be would need to be someone who knows, is familiar enough with not only all the counties and what and how, but the band conditions and something, you know, if something raises a red flag, to be able to
she just arrived out of your ceiling, I think.
I'm glad she's feeling comfortable around here. I still miss Dougal sitting in my lap. You need to be really dedicated county hunter and want to help other people along the way to the awards as well. And so anybody who is interested and feels that they're qualified for that, either the USACA award manager or the awards editor position, talk to me. My email address is my call sign, W2VictorUniform@cq-amateur-radio.com. Drop me a note. We'll talk. Just a couple of other issue notes here. Among more interesting things, we've got DX column this month is about the most wanted countries and why. It's got the 25 most wanted countries on the club log list and a look at the top 10 as to what makes them so rare and so difficult to get. Contest editor Dave Siddall, K3ZJ, has a really interesting column this month on real-time contest scoreboards on the web. It's a whole new aspect of contesting that a lot of people now are not even waiting until the contest is over to try to see how they did, but they're posting their logs during the course of the contest on some of these online scoreboards, and so they can keep track of how their competition is doing during the contest. It adds a whole new dimension to competitiveness.
I've been reading a little bit about that with the online, you know, like real-time scoring, and it's pretty interesting, and definitely for the super competitive, it's kind of, I think it could be kind of fun just in terms of if you're running neck and neck with, you know, someone else, you know, maybe you know, gives you just the kick you need to work a little bit harder or something. But I haven't used it myself, so I'm not really sure how it works, but it's definitely an interesting new way that technology can be brought in.
Yeah, definitely. And so obviously it's going to be controversial to some extent because every new thing that comes along is.
Right.
You know, we still have our Spark Forever people out there.
Yeah.
Who resist any change. And the ongoing battle now, of course, over FT8 as to, you know, right, whether it's a valid mode. And of course it is. But that's just my opinion.
Right. No.
So that pretty much covers most of our February issue of CQ, which should be live in our digital edition on February 1st or 2nd. It's over on the weekend, so I'm not sure
exactly
when it gets posted. Hopefully we'll have the print edition out sometime in February. We're planning, hoping to get the January issue print edition moving in the next 3 weeks, and then hopefully February 3 weeks after that, and keep scrunching them together a week at a time until we get current. So.
Well, that's good news. Everybody's always looks forward to seeing it arrive in their mailbox, and we have lots of loyal readers that
stick with you. We really appreciate everyone's patience and the great comments that we get about how much they enjoy reading the magazine and look forward to getting it.
CQ is a very quality magazine. I enjoy reading it.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, most of the time, I don't even look at like what month it is because I'm not worried about certain things. So I just like to read the different stories and the content. So to me, it's like if it shows up, that's always a good thing, and get to read everything. And like Martin said, it's got great quality content, and it's so readable for every ham. That's one of the things that, you know, that I like about it, that I don't feel like the articles are over my head, and I still learn something. And there's always something new and interesting. And, you know, of course, our friend Joe's kit building always gets my juices flowing for thinking about trying to do a kit again. And I haven't gotten it there yet, but I know I really need to. I got to add it to all my extras.
One of the things that Joe wrote about in his December column was 3D printed cases. We were talking about enclosures before for kits. Right. 3D printed cases for the Ubitex kits. And He was here in New York a couple of weeks ago for Ham Radio University, and he stopped in for, we had lunch together in New York City at Eisenberg Sandwich Shop, and it was a lot of fun. But he brought me one of these 3D printed cases for the Ubitex, because I've been slowly since May working on carving out a case for mine, and it really hasn't been going too far. So he brought that for me. That the guy who made the case for him also made one for me, so I'm looking forward to actually getting my Ubitex kit assembled in a case and put it on the air and see if I can actually work anybody.
That'd be fun.
3D printing is a whole other aspect of new stuff in ham radio. You can create old knobs and dials and things that are very hard to find. Really lots of options there and opportunities.
I can send you one of our metal cases for the U-Bit.
Well, I appreciate that. Let me try this one first and make sure, okay, see if it works. And but I have a feeling I made a wooden case for the BitX 40 that is interesting. But I may get another one of the single band ones, and if I do, then I will let you know. But I'm still having fun with your MFJ 9200 QRP little CW thing. I love that radio.
I was cleaning in the basement this weekend and opened up a box, and I was pleasantly surprised to find my MFJ 40 meter CW cup kit that I built probably 11 years ago when I worked at the league. But there was a group of us at headquarters that learned to build a kit together. And so I said, oh, I'm going to have to pull that out and try playing with it again. And I have another kit. It's just outside of the shack, so I got that. So I was kind of excited to find that because I knew I had packed it away. And I've been digging through boxes that I haven't looked at in years and figuring out, okay, what can I keep and what do I have to go? But I was really excited I found that kit again. So I was like, yay.
Oh, wow.
Oops, I just pulled my headphones out.
Hey, I have a question for you guys. Any news on WWV?
I haven't heard anything. I've been, and of course with the government shutdown, that delayed everything. But no, I've been checking around, and have not heard anything. I don't know if Congress ever finalized the bill that they were, the appropriations bill, whether they put it back in or not. I've been looking around with very little success on finding out anything one way or the other.
Okay. Well, last I heard, there's still no funding for it.
I saw something on it in a news bit not too long ago, but sadly, I don't remember what I ate for breakfast. Never mind what I read a couple weeks ago somewhere along the way. But oh my goodness. So, Martin, what's been going on down in Mississippi with you?
Oh, that's a hard question.
Yeah.
Well, I go to work every day. Get in about 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then go to lunch at 11:30, and get back about 3 o'clock. And
well, that's nap time then, right?
Yeah, that's a good schedule to me. Yeah.
We got lots of new products coming out. But the bands, I've been trying to operate some mobile, but the bands have been so bad. I was trying to get on the air and talk to Tom on 40 meters, but I couldn't hear anything today. This was mobile. We've got a new mobile antenna coming out. It's a little base-loaded cylinder. And you just dial in the frequency that you want. It's like a screwdriver, but no coil moving up and down.
Interesting. We have here in Wyoming, we have an 80 meter net every evening, and it's at 5:45 local time for us. And I've come down to 5:30 to check in because 15 minutes later, whoever's running the net that evening is just completely gone. And it's gotten so bad now that they're starting the early check-ins about 45 minutes before it begins. And today I got on our net controls over in Powell, which is the other side of the state. And he started off really strong. And I was right at the top of the net, so I didn't have to wait very long. But even in that few short minutes, it was already starting to fade away. And it's just, that's been kind of obnoxious. But over the weekend, Dwayne played in the 160-meter contest and had some good luck on 160 meters. And then Winter Field Day was going on, and heard this booming station coming out of Southern California with a familiar voice. So we worked K7JA, who was working with a Whiskey 6 Zulu Echo Club, and I think they had a great time down there in the snowy parts of Southern California, although their snow is green, so it wasn't too bad. Yes, the cowboy net KE7KK pops in there, yeah. So, yeah, it's been really kind of flaky, but I've been seeing a lot of people posting. They're still making lots of good digital contacts, or, you know, Dwayne's behind me working. Do you work in FT8? He can't hear me. He's got his headphones on. I think he's working FT8 behind me, making lots of contacts. But
yes.
Yeah, he is. Oh, he says yes.
So, 80-meter.
80-meter FT8 if you need Wyoming. Yeah, it's been really, really flaky with the bands lately, that's for sure.
So what's happening to the bands? Is it just going long or just fading out where you can't talk to anybody?
Here, they're just fade. They just disappear. Be literally a couple of weeks ago, I came down and it was about 5 minutes before the net was to start here. And so I called my mom real quick. I said, okay, I can hear the net operator. Come on over, since she lives next door and she was going to come check in. And by the time she walked over, got to the front door, I had already walked upstairs and met her at the door. I said, he's gone. I can't even hear him. It was just like that. It goes away. It's really frustrating. But
what I've noticed on 40 meters is, if you're trying to operate mobile, they need to be fairly close. You know, if it's too far away, your signal is too weak. And what I've noticed is, later during the evening, it just goes along. And then when it goes long, you can't work anybody because your signal's too weak using on mobile. Looks like Tom's back.
Hi, Tom. You're back.
Oh, yay.
Hey, guys. I'm back.
Boss is back.
Yeah, I'm back. So, hey, you've been carrying on without me. That shows the show can go on without me. That's great.
Well, you fortunately have people that seem to have no problem talking, so that works out well.
Good. Well, you know what? I was going to open the phone lines here in a little while. I might have to go in here in a minute and help them finish a report. They're finishing up my report right now, so I'll probably need to give them a little detail. But everything is hunky-dory. Everything is fine here. And it was an interesting night. And I met a lot of new friends, actually. So I'll tell you what, hey, are you guys, Martin, if I put the phone up and some phone lines come in, phone calls come in, can you or Katie and Rich, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Sure. Yeah.
If you're not ready for that, I won't put it up there yet, but.
No, we'll give it a try. Does it matter what we say?
No.
Yeah. You might just make stuff up.
And Chris is here. Chris can manage the phones there. And let me put the number up. Let's see. That right there should work right there. All right, I'll be back in a little while, but I'm going to put you guys back on here, and you guys can finish the show out. I'll be back a little later, okay?
Okay. All right, we'll do our best.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
All right, so everybody's around. Give us a call.
Let's see. Maybe that'll work better up there. Let's see if that works better.
Oh, there you go.
Tom, remember to kill your mic before you leave.
Yeah. I think he did. That was definitely an unnerving thing. Yeah. Glad you're there tonight, Chris, to help out. Oh. I think Tom might be having a scotch when this is all over.
So, Martin, you were going to talk about how ham radio has changed in the past 60 years.
Oh, yeah. You know, it has changed a lot in many ways, but in some ways it has stayed the same. The equipment has changed. And, I mean, you know, we started off with regenerative receivers and moved to superheads, which stayed for a long, long time in lots of different configurations. And then from super heads, direct conversion became real popular for home building And then Suprats continued to develop. Crystal filters came in, and then real crystal filters, and then from single conversion to double and triple conversion, and back to single conversion when the crystal filters got to be real good. And now SDR is taking over. I mean, it's just totally different from SDR back to the regenerative receivers, when one tube, one active device you could use to hear people from all over the world. I mean, what else do you see that's changing the equipment side?
I agree with you that, you know, the technology has changed significantly. You know, from, let's see, I've got a 1960s vintage little 40-meter transmitter here. The camera.
Is that one tube?
It's one tube.
What is that? Looks like a...
It's a 12K5. I've never tried putting it on the air. I built this out of a project article in CQ about 10 years ago, I guess.
It's
radio art, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, at the same, you know, just recently I built a little 30-meter Cricket transceiver. And it's one board this big, and you've got a whole transceiver on there, along with a key built into the board. And the battery is on the board, so all you have to plug into it is an antenna and a set of headphones. And unfortunately, 30 meters hasn't been awake enough for me to know how well it really works yet, because I hear signals, or no, I don't hear signals. I hear band sounds, and I went, there must be a problem with the receiver. And I went and turned on my big rig, and no, there's nothing wrong with the receiver. The band was just completely dead. And that hasn't changed in 60 years, propagation, although we've learned a lot about propagation in the past 60 years. I'd say that for sure. We understand a lot more. And, of course, modes like FT8 that Dwayne is using behind you are able to be copied through very high noise levels and low signal levels, and to allow people to keep making contact even when the band conditions are not ideal for voice or even CW, for that matter.
But you know, you were talking about the Cricket. One of the things that really fascinates me is taking one device and let that device be the receiver and the transmitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's techniques where you can reflex it, you know, make the one device, the transistor or tube, do multiple things. Amplify audio and also amplify RF and be an oscillator at the times when you need it for that. You know, one of the other things that has changed a lot are the demographics of ham radio operator. You know, back when we got our license, not including you, Katie, you're too young. But I got my license when I was 16 years old, and back then everybody was about the same age. And as I grew older, I was always the average age. I mean, when I was 30, the average age was 30. When I got to be 50, it was 50. And it just kind of continued there. I mean, now I don't know really what the average age now, but it's probably in the 50-60 range. And but the difference between now and then was that back then, as a 16-year-old, you know, we didn't have money to spend on ham radio, and we had to build a lot of our stuff. And back then, we could get a lot of war surplus parts, and we could build it. But now, the average ham. You know, they're older, their house is paid for, their kids are grown. You know, they're a lot more affluent than they were before. So they have really, really nice equipment compared to what we had back then. I mean, what do y'all think about that, about the demographics between now and back then?
Well, I think, you know, you're right about being on the average age because we're following the population bubble of the baby boomers, and you have this huge bubble of people that have been moving through in the post-war baby boom. And now you've got the millennials coming up and threatening to take over from us. And I hope they do a better job. I've had the privilege of being involved with the Young Ham of the Year Award for some 20 years now. And I am always, always encouraged by the young people who are nominated. And, you know, even those who don't reach the level of winning the award are all doing impressive things. So my optimism for the future of ham radio is renewed every year when we start going through the nominations. There aren't as many, you know, we remember being a lot of young people being hams when we were young and new hams, but that's because there were a whole lot more people of that age overall at the time.
Right.
And there aren't quite as many teenagers right now, period. And they have a lot more competing interests if they're interested in technology and stuff. But ham radio, I think, still holds out a unique opportunity to be an electronic playground and for people to try new things and play with new things. And you have groups of young people who are doing all sorts of amazing things with ham radio, and they're going to be our next generation of leaders.
I think where I see a lot of the exciting forward motion with ham radio is in the guys that are in their probably in their 30s, like Josh and Jason, who are, you know, they're sharing what they're doing and developing communities. So, like, you know, Josh, who's been on YouTube for over 10 years and has this ham radio crash course and does all this stuff, you know, live with Friday nights. And I mean, both of these guys have around, you know, 40,000 subscribers to their YouTube channels. I mean, that's just amazing. Wow. To think that there's, you know, these thousands of people that are all involved and interested on that really techie side of things. And then there's also, I hear Skype ringing some point. I'm not sure what's happening. But maybe Dave's calling.
Maybe Dave, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, another place that I keep an eye on regularly as far as hearing from what people are interested in is Reddit. There's, you know, Reddit, for a lot of people know, is kind of they call the front page of the internet, where you can read stories about anything and everything, and mostly a lot of junk that you don't care about. But there's a lot of subgroups or subreddits, as they're called, and there's one specifically for amateur radio. And I believe the last time I looked, the membership was around 30, or I should say paid attention, there's about 37,000 hams in that group. And wow. A lot of them are posting intelligent questions. And what's really nice about it, there's no flame wars or insults going on. You know, guys or gals will get on and ask a question about either getting involved with ham radio, or they're looking at a radio. They've got a mobile operation up and running. They're doing stuff with wires or DMR and are trying to figure out how to make it all work together. And all of these other hams are coming in and helping them. And you get these constant threads of activity that's all, you know, helpful and really higher technical end type things, I would say. So it gives me the impression there's like a lot of software engineers and computer science degree type folks that are on there. And I always feel a little smarter when I walk away because I seem to learn something new every day. But like I said, one of the things I really like about it, and the moderators really do hold the crowd to it, is there's just, it's not like some of the other online forums where people get you know, nailed, you know, for not knowing something just because they're an extra, that it's, you know, it's encouraged to ask questions and learn from each other. And the things that people are doing with, you know, the Raspberry Pis and the, you know, the Pico APRS and the SDR Plays. I mean, all of these different products are just super neat and just giving people so many different ways to experience ham radio. And to me, I think that's one of the really exciting things about the hobby right now is that.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah.
Katie, hey, getting the phone system going here. We've got a caller.
Oh, great. Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
He dropped. Okay. We'll try again.
Okay.
which form were you talking about, Katie? 37,000.
That's on Reddit.
Okay.
I can email you a link to it later on. Mark.
I think someone else you can add to your list of 30-something people who are advancing ham radio is Nathaniel W2NAF with the ham side.
Yeah.
Really promoting citizen science with getting hams and professional scientists together to work with each other and, you know, for hams to collect data for the scientists to analyze and the scientists then returning the favor by providing information based on that analysis to help us all learn more about propagation and other stuff.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you for bringing up Nathaniel. I can't forget him. He's definitely contributing so much to the ham community with his background and everything from the eclipse that came out of that was super cool. And, of course, he's a brand spanking new dad,
That's
too.
That's right.
So I've been trying to fix up his son with my granddaughter. I said, you know, if he goes for older women, you know, she's only 8 weeks old, so it might work out in the future.
Well, I want to comment on something that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. You know, there are so many people that spend a lot of time trying to hit a little ball, a little tiny ball, into a little hole somewhere. And I have never been able to understand that. You know, they started doing that, I forgot where it was, in Ireland or Scotland or somewhere.
Scotland.
In Scotland, back in the year 1200 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's gotten bigger than ever.
Right.
And they keep doing that. And why do they do that? They do it because they want to do it. I mean, that's the only reason they're doing it. And I see ham radio is the same thing. Mm-hmm. People, I mean, ham radio would be with us forever for the reason. The only reason is they just want to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
I think it'll be with us for a long, long time. And there's so many different things that they can do, like you were talking about.
Right.
There are endless
that's...
challenges. And, you know, I've often compared it to like fishing. You know, if you just want to eat fish for dinner, you can go to the supermarket or a restaurant. But if you want the challenge and the fun of going fishing and maybe catching something, maybe not, then that's for ham radio. If you want to if you just want to talk to somebody, pick up your phone. But if you want the experience of getting your signal from here to there and figuring out how to make it happen, then that's where ham radio comes in.
Yeah. Like the other thing I really like about it too are the relationships that you develop because of this hobby. I realize there's certainly other hobbies that may, you know, go worldwide where people go to conventions and meet up with each other. But, you know, I was looking through photos yesterday from our trip to Scotland last year. And because Dwayne, when we visited the Stirling Amateur Radio Club, Dwayne got in the air and made about 100 contacts from there. And we still needed to make some, so we made some QSL cards. So we were looking through our photos. And while we were over there, we had dinner with a ham who we met at the Florida Contest Group dinner in at Hamcation. Met him a couple times, but he lives in Florida and over in Stirling, UK. So we all met up for dinner and while we were in the UK. And the funny thing about it was both Dwayne and he had their W1AW t-shirts on that day. So we're walking down the streets of Stirling in Scotland, and these two hams are wearing their, you know, W1AW t-shirts. And it was just something that, you know, you brought together. And then when we went to the club, and Billy McFarland, who's one of the club members who I was interacting with on Twitter, we had never met in person. But as soon as, you know, you walked into the clubhouse, you know, you're all immediate friends because of this one thing you have in common. And for me, that's probably one of my most favorite parts about ham radio is the relationships that come about. Because, you know, you may start with this one thing in common and then you learn others. Like Teresa, who's here in our chat room and helps out down at Huntsville. Well, we've discovered we're both yarnaholics and love crocheting and knitting. And so we've developed a secondary relationship to the ham radio. You know, I told her about this hat while I was making it, so she commented earlier about it. But, you know, it's fun because, sometimes it's the start of a discussion or start of a relationship that, you know, you start with the one commonality, the ham radio, and then you never know where it goes from there.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that I've... Go ahead,
Mark. I think that part hasn't changed where you develop relationships like that. But one thing, and it may just be a sign of the times that we live in now, but I just remember ham radio back when I was starting to be more polite than it seems to be now. Am I just imagining that, or?
I think ham radio has always been a microcosm of society as a whole. Mm-hmm. And I think society was more polite 50 years ago than it is now. We are part of the world around us, and there's nothing we can do about that.
But you know, Rich, you said you were talking about baby boomers. Now I know you're a young guy because I'm a generation before that, and I could never figure out what that generation was until I finally looked it up. I think that was called the silent generation.
Not among hams.
Yeah. Well, you know, the things that have stayed the same in ham radio are antennas. I mean, we still use dipoles and verticals and Yagis. That part hasn't changed very much. There's some new things, but really things like magnetic loops, you know, they were first introduced back in the late 40s, early 50s. I think the Army had a big loop, and there was a technical letter in QST magazine from, I think he was in the Army too, that had a small loop that he wrote about. But anyway, antennas, I think, is one area that has pretty much stayed the same. What do y'all think about that?
Mm-hmm. One of the first things I did, actually with a KX9X and N1ND, my Elmers back in Connecticut, I built a multi-band dipole. And I had a lot of fun making that. And I keep thinking, I want to build another antenna. And we climbed up on my mom's roof, because I was living with her at the time, and got up on the roof and got it strung up there. And it was windy one day. We had a problem with our soldering. So Sean brought up, KX9X brought up a little blowtorch for the solder. Oh. And I'm holding a box to block the wind. And he's doing some kind of work. But I tell you what, that antenna works. And I was never more proud because I built it myself.
How did you make it multiband?
I don't remember, honestly. It was not very long ago. It was, well, there was some big center connector. And
is it a fan dipole?
It very well might have been, yeah. That probably was it. Just probably calling it the wrong thing as usual.
Because those are multiband.
Yeah, I bet that's what it was.
One of those up in my attic is my backup antenna.
Oh, I'm getting asked, was it an off-center fed dipole or a fan dipole from Brett? You know, I'm really not sure, so I saw a question in here for Martin in the chat room. Let me see if I can scroll back. Someone was asking, I think it was a progress on one of your new products here. Oh, here it is. Russ was asking how the MFJ 1234 is coming.
It's coming along very, very nicely. We hope to have it ready by Dayton. What that is a little box that you can connect to almost any radio, and you can remote operate from anywhere. And all you have to do is log on to a browser with just about anything, your phone, your iPad, your Android tablet, or laptop, or desktop, anywhere you have a internet connection, and be able to operate your radio at with your antenna, you know, at your location. And Howard Nurse, whose father used to be the president of Heathkit, has been developing all the software in California, and we're making hardware, but the software is almost finished. I think he's working on the HEP, the HEP files for it, and but it's working very, very nicely. So all you do is log on to a website, and you can operate your radios. It'll be that's the reason we call it 1234. It's that easy.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's great.
Of course,
you know,
that's
makes
another
me...
area that has changed recently is,
oh,
is
yeah.
the growth of remote operation and being able to use the internet as a control medium for your station.
The thing, the hang up has always been, it's just been too hard. You had to know too much to be able to configure the computer and all the settings to get through your router and all that, and all this has been solved with this new concept that Howard has developed.
Well, it makes me think, one thing with this product, I'm going to keep my eye out for it. I was just recently interacting with a customer who has an elderly father who had health issues and is recovering in a nursing facility, but is due back home in March, and she and her brother are trying to find a way that they can get him back on the radio. And but because he has a pacemaker, there's concerns about how to set everything up appropriately. So I said, I bet, you know, setting up some kind of a remote operation might be just what he needs. And so I'm going to keep that one in mind for when it comes out, to get back in touch with her as that an option.
Well, you know, one of the really sad things is when the older guys move into a assisted living area, a lot of those places won't allow antennas of any kind.
Right.
And but they still have, you know, huge interest in ham radio, and this will give them a way to operate.
Hey, Martin, it looks like we've got a caller tonight.
Okay.
Let's see. Go ahead.
We got a caller? Hello?
Yes. Stand by a second. I've got him coming in here.
Is the caller talking, or we can't hear
yet.
Him? Or, oh.
I think Chris is trying to get it all set up for us.
I'm back.
Oh,
here.
Tom's back. Oh, yeah.
How's things been running since I've been gone?
We've been just talking off a storm here.
Have you had any calls at all tonight?
Yeah, we've had some, and then they've dropped.
Oh, okay. Well, we had a few calls, and y'all were able to converse with them, I guess, right?
No.
Oh,
no, we just talked right over them.
Well, thanks to the new phone system. All right. Look, hey, I don't know where y'all are in the show. It's 10 after 9.
We're just making it up as we go here,
just
Tom.
Making up as you go, right. Okay. Let's see. I was going to say something. I don't remember what it was. Did I mention did I mention our Pico balloon thing? Yeah, yes. I wanted to.
No, I've already mentioned that.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, look, hey guys, it's after 9 o'clock. I think we're going to go ahead and we'll cancel the show here for a second. What happened here? Did Martin fail? Martin
said you want us to drink.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Let me do one thing.
My iPad fell off the holder.
Let me do one thing, and we'll be right back. Hang on. Let's see. Let me see what I can do here. Trying to figure this out again. Don't go away, Katie and Rich and everybody.
All right.
Stand by a minute. Let's see. Here we go. I'll be right back with you. Attention all hams. ICOM knows that ham clubs play a big role in bringing ham communities together to learn from their peers and industry leaders. As a way to give back and to help you on this mission, ICOM has launched a promotion exclusively for ham radio clubs and ham fest that they are involved with. By registering your club, you could also win ICOM swag, a Skype presentation, or for your ham fest, an ICOM booth set up at your ham club. Register now today for your chance to win. Go to www.icomamerica.com/hams. Okay, guys, we're back. Okay, hey, we're not going to have a Hangout tonight. And did you know Google is getting rid of Hangout? It's going away here pretty soon. So we've got to look for a way to replace our Hangout at the end of the show. I know that Katie and Rich and Martin did a good job tonight keeping the show going while I talked with the people in there. Met some really great friends tonight. Got some great new friends, and really interesting. So we're going to go ahead and close the show tonight, and we'll be back next Tuesday. That'd be, the 5th, I think. Tuesday the 5th.
You don't be driving to Orlando yet?
And let's see. You know, hey, next week, Tuesday the 5th, we've got Asher Farhan coming on.
Oh.
He is the guy, the brains behind building the BIX, BITX 40. And
right.
the micro BITX, and man, it's always a great show talking with him. So he'll be with us next week. I want to say good night to everybody, and thanks for tuning in tonight. We really had a great time, and we'll see you next week. Don't forget, we've got a podcast going. You can pull a show up if you're driving. Download the show. Let's see, what else can you do? Oh, all of our shows are recorded. You can watch them anytime. You don't have to watch them live. Join us on our 40-meter net every Tuesday about 5:30 p.m. Central Time. And with that, I'll say good night to everybody, and we will see you later.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week in Orlando.
Okay. Bye.
Good night.